last time we finished up with thought that we were showing how the Lord so admires and cherishes faith in Him. And we went to some scriptures to show that. And I mentioned the idea of the weaving, the needle and the thread going through our lives. I found that poem. I did not know in the previous times I've seen it that it was written by Corrie Ten Boom, those of you that know her. But the title is, My Life is But a Weaving. My life is but a weaving between my God and me. I cannot choose the colors, He weaveth steadily. Oft times He weaveth sorrow, and I, in foolish pride, forget He sees the upper, and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent, and the shuttles cease to fly, will God unroll the canvas and reveal the reason why. The dark threads were as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern He has planned. He knows, He loves, He cares. Nothing this truth can dim. He gives the very best to those who leave the choice to Him.
Amen.
All right. Getting back, or continuing in Romans 1, starting in about verse 18, we talked last week also about verse 17, the just shall live by faith, and we may come back to that, but starting in verse 18 through verse 32, we have this indictment of mankind that I'm sure we're all familiar with. And Paul doubtless had Genesis chapter 6 in mind as the Holy Ghost had him write this portion. And in Genesis 6 we have an interesting narrative there. Genesis 6 starting in verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into their daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And if you drop down to verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. So as I said, Paul probably had this portion in mind when the Holy Spirit had him write these verses here in Romans 1. But let me ask you a question. Who do you think of when you read these verses in Romans 1, 18 through 32?
The people we see around us. The people we see around us today.
Okay. Anybody else? Is that pretty much the consensus? Okay. All right. Well, tonight, as I studied into this, I think the Lord showed me that Paul had more of a shock, shock for Paul in mind than what he even anticipated. If somebody will go to Exodus 24, someone to Leviticus 10, someone to Deuteronomy 31, someone else to Hosea 4. Let's look first at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And the question occurred, what nation or people held, that is, were given to cherish the truth of God?
Israel.
Yes, the Jews.
Exodus 24, whoever's there, verse 12.
And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me in the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone, and a law, and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them.
Teach them. Those commandments were to be taught, expounded, and learned. Leviticus 10, whoever's there, verses 8 through 11.
And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses.
Oh. Deuteronomy 31, whoever's there, verse 22.
Moses therefore wrote this song the same day, and taught it to the children of Israel.
Okay. Somebody go to Jeremiah 2 and someone to Ezekiel 16, and whoever's in Hosea 4, verse 1.
Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land.
Whoa. Whoa. No truth, or mercy, or knowledge of God. Jeremiah 2, whoever's there, verses 10 through 11.
For pass over the isle of Shittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit.
Okay, changed his glory. Whoever's in Ezekiel 16, if you would, verses 43 through 52.
Because thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, but hast fretted me in all of these things, behold, therefore, I also recompense thy way upon thine head, saith the Lord God, and thou shalt not commit this lewdness above all thine abominations. Behold, every one that useth proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Thou art thy mother's daughter that loatheth her husband and her children, and thou art the sister of thy sisters which loathe their husbands and their children. Your mother was an Hittite, and your father an Amorite. And thine elder sister is Samaria, she and her daughters that dwell at thy left hand. And thy younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand is Sodom and her daughters. Yet hast thou not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations. But, as if that were a very little thing, thou wast corrupted more than they in all thy ways. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. Neither has Samaria committed half of thy sins, but thou hast multiplied thine abominations more than they, and hast justified thy sisters in all thine abominations which thou hast done. Thou also, which hast judged thy sisters, bear thine own shame for thy sins that thou hast committed more abominable than they. They are more righteous than thou. Yea, be thou confounded also, and bear thy shame, in that thou hast justified thy sisters. 52?
Yeah, go to chapter 7, Michelle, and hang out for a moment. What an indictment. Basically, the Lord says, you've done worse than the heathen nations around you. You've made them almost look righteous compared to you. just in passing, before I forget, not that it's a subject that you want to indulge in, I sure don't, but if you want to get a full picture of just how bad Israel went astray and how angry and determined to judge them God was, the books of Jeremiah and Ezekiel are probably the two best books that cover that, those subjects. But we have to ask now, so Israel went astray after they were chosen to be the holders of truth. But then we have to ask, what nation knew his wrath like no other?
Israel again.
Yeah. Israel again. If somebody would go to Jeremiah 21, someone to Hosea 5, and whoever gets to Jeremiah 21, read verse 5 for us.
And I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand, with a strong arm, even in anger and in fury and in great wrath.
And then in chapter 44, Hagen. Verse 8.
In that ye provoke me unto wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense unto other gods in the land of Egypt, whither ye begun to dwell, that ye might cut yourself off, and that ye might be a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth.
Yikes. Okay, Michelle, Ezekiel 7, verse 19.
They shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowels, because it is a stumbling block of their iniquity.
And then in chapter 21, verse 31.
And I will pour out mine indignation upon thee. I will blow against thee in the fire of my wrath, and deliver thee into the hand of brutish men and skillful to destroy.
And then in chapter 22, verse 31.
Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God.
Okay. Then in whoever's in Hosea 5, verse 10.
Princes of Judah were like them that removed the bound. Therefore I will pour out my wrath upon them like water.
Okay. Now, let's go back and look at verse 18 in Romans 1 again. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. To me, that points right at Israel. Then in verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shewed it unto them. The word known there is number 1110 in the Greek, and it means to be well known or to have an acquaintance. And if somebody will go to 2 Chronicles 20, someone to Numbers 23, someone to Joshua 2, and someone else to Isaiah 43. Whoever gets to 2 Chronicles 20, read verse 7 for us.
Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever.
Okay. Israel had a testimony before him. Numbers 23, whoever's there, verses 7 through 10.
And he took up his parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, Come, curse ye Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nation. Who can count the dust of Jacob, and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his.
And then verses 19 through 24, Joe.
God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received command to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, What hath God wrought? Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion, and lift himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink the blood of the slain.
Okay. Where was it? Joshua 2, verses 4 through 11.
And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when he came out of Egypt, and what he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom he utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth. Yeah.
Isaiah 43, whoever's there, verse 10.
Ye are my witness, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me.
And verse 12.
I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God.
And then in chapter 44, Mitch, verse 8.
Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any.
Okay. So, in verse 19, not only did Israel have a testimony and a witness of who the Lord wanted them to be and made them, but they had a testimony and a witness in the nations around about them many, many times. So Paul says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in those men who don't hold the truth in righteousness. For God has showed it to them, and he showed it to other people through them. All right? Then he says in verse 20, For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. If somebody will go to Acts 7 and somebody to Jeremiah 24. Now, the invisible things of him, that is God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. And then he specifies what are seen, the invisible things. He says, even his eternal power and Godhead. In this, we're told that nature gives to the natural man evidence or proof of God's existence and his power. But if you take it further than that and try to deduce God's character and his nature from nature, you are making a serious mistake. Go out into the forest and watch mountain lions and bears chase down prey and kill it. That is not God's character. So if you overstep what God is intending to show you in nature, simply that he exists and that he has power, you're going to go down a wrong path. Okay, that's all that's in this. But let's look at Acts 7, whoever's there, verses 37 and 38.
This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, have prophets shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the living oracles to give unto us.
Okay, then in Jeremiah 24, verse 7.
And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, but they shall return unto me with their whole heart.
Okay, so nature, if that's all you're going to look at, will tell you about God's existence.
Amen.
And his power. Amen. But if you want to know about his character, his nature, anything beyond that, you must turn to his word for revelation. Amen. It won't come from anywhere else. And that's what Stephen was saying here. God gave them Moses to expound unto them his commandments so that they could know God. They could find out what he's like. All right? Apart from a revelation, Israel had no more knowledge of God than any other natural man. Had no way of knowing him. So it had to come through his word by revelation. Okay? Then in verse 21, Paul says, speaking of the wrath of God, back in verse 18, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. The knowledge there is number 1097 in the Greek. It's our old word gnosis that we all are familiar with. It means to be aware of, have knowledge of, to perceive or understand. So this is speaking of people that had his word and his revelation. All right? They were acquainted with him. So again, who had this knowledge outside of Israel?
Nobody.
Okay. Let's have somebody go to Romans 3. And someone to Deuteronomy 32, someone to Isaiah 45. And whoever gets to Romans 3, verses 1 and 2.
What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God.
Unto them were given the oracles of God. That goes way beyond knowing that he exists and that he's powerful. All right? And then in chapter 9, Michelle, the first 5 verses there.
I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen.
Wow. What a smorgasbord. They had it all. They had it all. If somebody will go to 1 Thessalonians 4 real quick, Paul makes a statement there that's relevant, very relevant to this. Whoever gets there, verse 5.
Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which knew not God.
Okay, the Gentiles who knew not God. Those oracles were not given to any other nation. All right, they were Israel's alone. Okay, whoever's in Deuteronomy 32, now what we're going to see again is that though Israel was given those precious things, they didn't cling to them. They didn't appreciate it. They didn't value them. Whoever's in Deuteronomy 32, verse 20.
And he said, I will.
Go ahead.
I will hide my face from them. I will speak what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith.
Ooh, we've heard that phrase before. Children in whom is no faith.
Sounds like the generation we have here right now. Yeah.
Yep. And you remember how when the Lord was confronted by the, was it the centurion whose servant was sick? And he told him, go home, your servant's healed. He turned to the crowd and said, I haven't found faith like this in Israel. Okay, Isaiah 45, whoever's there, verses 4 and 5.
For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, when I left, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me.
Ooh, read that last phrase again.
I girded thee, though thou hast not known me.
Ooh, okay. Jeremiah 4, if somebody will go there, someone to 2 Kings 17. And whoever gets to Jeremiah 4, verse 22.
For my people it is foolish, they have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge.
4:22.
And then back in chapter 2, Mitch, verse 5.
Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me and have walked after vanity and are become vain?
Okay. 2 Kings 17, whoever's there, verse 15.
And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers and his testimonies which he testified against them. And they followed vanity and became vain and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them.
Okay. So, going back to verse 21, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, that phrase in Isaiah where it says, the people that sat in darkness have seen great light, it puts a whole new spin on that verse. Wasn't Israel sitting in darkness for hundreds of years until the day star from on high came on them? As a nation, yes, there were individuals, but as a nation, they were in darkness too because of that vanity of turning away from the gift that they had been given. All right, he goes on in verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. If somebody will go back to Jeremiah 4. Mitch, did you just read there?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind. And someone to Psalm 14, and someone to Zechariah 11. And in Jeremiah 4, Mitch, verse 22 again.
My people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge.
Okay. Then in chapter 5, verse 4.
Therefore I said, surely these are poor. They are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God.
And verse 21.
Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not.
And then in chapter 10, verse 8.
But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of man.
And verse 14.
Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them.
Okay. Now, before we go on, that word brutish, it means stupid.
Stupid.
But whenever I see that word, come across that word in the scriptures, how many of you saw the original 1960s black and white version of the Time Machine?
Yeah.
Remember the troglodytes?
Yeah.
The ones that dwelt underground with the eyes that glowed in the dark? That's what I think of when I see this word brutish. Okay. Okay.
So I have a question.
What's that?
I have a question. Might be silly, but I'm going to ask anyway. A lot of what was just read,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of, and forgive me, but the Catholic Church too. And I don't know if that would apply because they're Christian or some, but a lot of it sounds like them too.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's funny you bring that up. I drove by a Catholic church the other day and they had their little electric marquee up front. And on that particular day, the marquee said, God became man so that man could become God.
What?
Yeah, yeah. Same reaction. I almost had an accident. Did I just read what I thought I read? So, yes. Yes. We could go into a long diatribe over that, but let's refrain. It's not worth it in one sense.
So it's not just the Jews. It's my question. It's the people that turn away from God and His love and His power.
It's even Christians.
What's that?
It's even Christians today.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
If you look at the at the seven churches in Revelation. You have mentioned more than once the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And that's where the idea of a separate priesthood and the laity, the clergy and the laity. Well, I seem to remember that when God pulled Israel out of Egypt, He said, you're a kingdom of priests.
Mm-hmm.
That meant everybody. Okay. And then on top of that, you have the church in Revelation, let's see, the church of Thyatira, and if you read there in chapter 2, the church of Thyatira, He says, starting in verse 19, I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to me more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which is Mystery Babylon, Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. So yes, it is present, has been present for a long time. When I read one time some years back, you remember that kind of a long poem, The Church Walking with the World? When the church took the world's hand and began to walk with the world and allow the world to seduce her, that happened within, was it Constantine? Came along in about AD 300, Joe?
Yeah, pretty.
It didn't take but a couple of hundred years. Paul died in what?
68.
Timothy probably went not too long after that. John's revelation was in AD 90. So in the first 100 years, truth had already gone underground, so to speak. And by AD 300, the church and the state, Christianity, so-called, was the official state religion. And it's only gone downhill from there. Okay. All right. Let's see. We just read Jeremiah 10:14. Whoever's in Psalm 14, verse 1.
The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good.
Yeah. It occurred to me, what more foolish statement or belief could there be than to think or say there is no God? Anybody think of anything? I can't. So that's kind of the peak of it. And tie then in Psalm 69, verses 22 through 28.
Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him who thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous.
Okay. Zechariah 11, whoever's there, verse 17.
Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flocks, that leadeth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm, and upon his right eye, his arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened.
Okay. So, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools in every sense of the word.
Yes.
Then in verse 23, Paul says, they went further. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Now they got started on this pretty early. If you remember back there in the wilderness when Moses disappeared for 40 days and the elders of Israel finally came to Aaron and said, look, we don't know what happened to that clown. He's obviously gone, so make us a golden calf so we have something to worship.
Yeah.
That's a four-footed beast.
Yeah.
But anyway, if somebody will go to Psalm 106. Someone to Ezekiel 8, someone to Deuteronomy 14. And whoever gets to Psalm 106, read verses 19 through 22 for us.
They gave calf and Horeb and worshipped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgot God their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea.
Okay. Ezekiel 8, let's turn over there together. Okay. We've got 18 verses, so let's have somebody willing to read the first 9 verses, and then we'll have somebody read the second 9 verses.
And it came to pass in the 6th year, in the 6th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I sat in mine house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord fell there upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, likeness as the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his loins even downward fire, and from his loins even upward as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. And he put forth the form of a hand, and took me by a lock of mine head. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh towards the north. Wherefore was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. And behold, the glory of God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up my eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far away from my sanctuary, but turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, Go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do here.
So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things, and abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel, portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Jehazaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chamber of his imagination, in that imagery? For they say, The Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. He said also unto me, Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than they do. And he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tamuz. Then said he unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they worshipped the sun toward the east. And he said unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence, and have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore will I also deal in my fury. Mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them.
Okay. Now, the vision that Ezekiel was given there, understand this. His going to the temple and digging the hole in the wall and stuff didn't actually happen. It was an image, a vision that the Lord gave him. But understand that this took place in the city of Jerusalem and then at the temple. And the Lord says there, this is the imagery that these men hold in their hearts. They're supposed to be the priests and the princes, the people that lead and inspire and teach, and they're worshiping every creeping thing. They worship the sun. And they worship Tammuz and the idol that causes jealousy. Those were just idols. And then they put the branch to their nose. They're taking the incense and probably helping their visions. Okay, that's what was going on. And I have to say, before we go on, when we get to heaven, I'm going to make a special effort to go see Jeremiah and Ezekiel and thank those men, because they were called to be prophets, which you would think on the surface would be an honorable thing and a glorious thing, and it is. But as it turned out, what those men had to prophesy most of the time had to just be so revolting and revulsive to them that they had to have those visions and write them down and then proclaim them to the people, that I've got some special respect for the two of them, that they were willing to let the Lord put them through that.
That was a heavy burden.
Oh my. Oh, I can't imagine. It would take a courage that only the Holy Ghost could give.
And Scott, I wonder why they called him the weeping prophet. And then I began to read in this.
No wonder.
Yeah.
I mean, how could you not come to tears after being given the things that he was given? And Ezekiel too, seeing the things that he saw. So, yeah, it's very understandable. If somebody will go to Deuteronomy 4, someone to 2 Kings 23, and someone back to Jeremiah 2, and we'll close up here for tonight. Whoever gets to Deuteronomy 4, verse 19.
Unless thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven.
2 Kings 23, whoever's there, verse 5.
And he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and to all the hosts of heaven.
Jeremiah 2, whoever's there, verse 27.
Saying to a stock, thou art my father, and to a stone, thou hast brought me forth. For they have turned their back unto me, and not their face, but in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us.
And then in chapter 32, Michelle. Verse 33.
And they have turned unto me the back and not the face, though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction.
And in chapter 44, verse 17.
But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes, in the cities of Judah, and in the streets of Jerusalem, for then had we plenty of victuals, and were well, and saw no evil.
Okay. Now, I realize that this is kind of a depressing subject to go through, but again, you can appreciate, as the Holy Ghost had Paul write Romans 1, what a shock of a revelation this must have been, as the Holy Ghost brought the scriptures that he knew back to mind. And he was all ready to, you know, as a Pharisee, he was all ready to indict the Gentiles, and lo and behold, it's all about his own people. And if the Lord tarries and we continue next week, we're going to find that ultimately it comes down and focuses on the most self-righteous of those people, and guess who that was?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hope it was a blessing for you.